This is the Fantasy Focus Books and Authors Podcast, Episode 10. Good day and welcome to this episode of the Fantasy Focus Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what the title says it is. It's a show focused on everything to do with fantasy books. From epic fantasy to urban fantasy to swords and sorcery and everything in between, I want you to expect to find the best and brightest authors from all the various corners of the fantasy book world here on the show. Plus, we're going to add in a few other very special guests along the way, so stay tuned for that. Also, just want to check in. I got my own writing update to start off the show here. I started this week on a new urban fantasy series that actually has a game lit or lit RPG kind of twist to it. I'm excited about this basic premise because there aren't a lot of urban fantasy RPG games out there. There are a few of them, but not nearly as many as you find in the other settings of fantasy. And so I'm looking forward to kind of exploring this type of fantasy world a little bit differently. I write a lot of urban fantasy, but to build in this gaming setting is been a lot of fun to kind of get set up and prepared for. So I'm looking forward to getting started on that project. And, you know, starting a new project always gets me fired up and gets me really interested in being creative and writing. And I'm going to have more on this project as it moves along. So stay tuned for that. Also, don't forget my upcoming cyberpunk sci-fi book, Cyber's Change, is coming soon, and it's available now for a pre-order for just 99 cents in all the ebook stores. So check out Cyber's Change and reserve your copy, and you can get it cheap for the pre-release price of 99 cents, and I appreciate you checking it out. As always, if you're interested in more information on what I'm up to, make sure you check out my fan group over on Facebook. It's under the title Jamie's Fun Fantasy Superfans, and also my website and blog over at jamiedavisbooks.com, which is getting a facelift here in the next couple of weeks. I actually have a new design getting put in place there and should be installed probably by the end of the month, which is kind of exciting. I haven't had a major change in the look of that website in a long time, and I'm really excited about moving forward with that. Anyway, I look forward to hearing from you, so make sure you reach out to me and leave a comment on my social media feeds or via my website. However you want to reach out to me, I'd love to hear from you. So let's get into our special guest for this episode. Today we have Peter McLean. Peter is the author of the fantasy gangster thrillers Priest of Bones and the upcoming Priest of Lies, which is coming out in July this year. His first novels, the Burned Man series, are noir urban fantasy, and he's also been working on a game tie-in short fiction for various franchises like the Warhammer franchise, which is kind of cool. So he's been writing a variety of different things, and we talk about a little bit of all of that in this upcoming segment. Peter lives in Norwich, England with his wife Diane, and he wants to make sure that you check out his site over at talonwraith.com or on Twitter at PeteMC666. So check him out over there. So let's go on and get into that segment. I had a great time chatting with Peter, and you can hear that segment coming up right now. Hi, Peter. I want to welcome you to the Fantasy Focus Podcast.
Hi, Jeremy. Good to meet you, and thank you for having me.
So why don't you do us a little bit of a favor? I'm sure a lot of the readers already know who you are, but maybe introduce yourself and tell them a little bit about your background.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. So my name is Peter McLean. I'm an English author of primarily crime thrillers in fantasy settings. So my latest book is called Priest of Bones. It's out in the US from Ace Rock and in the UK from Joe Fletcher Books. It's a Renaissance-set gangster thriller set in a fantasy world. Prior to that, I've written an urban fantasy trilogy through Angry Robot, and I also write war stories for Warhammer Black Library, Warhammer 40,000.
Excellent. And now I got to ask you, because I noticed right away the gangster theme, the underworld theme that seems to run through at least some of your books. What brings that about? Is it just a general interest in those kind of things? Or
yeah, all my books are kind of a homage to everything I love. I mean, I grew up on the Godfather and Jimmy Cagney movies and all that good stuff, you know, black and white men in hats shooting each other in back alleys and it's something that's kind of never left me. And obviously, I've been a lifelong fantasy reader. You know, my mother read me Lord of the Rings when I was 7 or 8 years old, I think. And I've always enjoyed fantasy. And I've had this long-standing desire to just mash the two things together and write a fantasy gangster thriller. And that's really what Priest of Bones is. It's the Godfather with swords and cannons, basically.
Oh, it's a fascinating concept and really very interesting because I don't know. On its top level, it seems like, wow, they have nothing to do with each other. But of course, there were underworld things going on in all levels of history. I mean, there was probably somebody that was selling, you know, black market, you know, mastodon tusks back in caveman days.
No doubt. I mean, there was definitely organized crime in ancient Rome. You know, it's a known thing. And it is something that's always existed, but you don't see so much of in the fantasy genre. I mean, you've got kind of stuff like Liza Loughnamara is probably the one that immediately springs to mind, which is kind of Ocean's 11 with swords, and as a heist movie and they're con men kind of thing. But I wanted to do proper gangsters, you know. I guess that's just where I went with it, really. It's not something that, as far as I know, that there's very much of about. And it's the old cliche that authors write the book they want to read, you know. And it was definitely the book I wanted to read. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to write it.
That's such a common theme with all the authors I interview, and certainly with myself, too. My background is in medicine as a paramedic and a nurse. And I wrote my initial fantasy series was an urban fantasy about a paramedic. So, you know, it is what you do.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely that. I think, you know, there is that element of write what you know, I think, isn't there? Or write what you're enthusiastic about, maybe. I mean, I'm not actually a gangster, but you know, it's, write your passions, I think, is a good rule to live by.
Definitely. So have you always written, or is this something you took up later in life? Or
I've always written for fun, I think, since I was in high school. I only really started doing it seriously maybe, I don't know, 9, 10 years ago. And like most authors, I wrote 3 books before anything got published. You know, I've got an unpublished and probably unpublishable trilogy sitting on the dusty corners of my hard drive. But I think for most people that's your apprenticeship, isn't it? You learn to write by writing. So, yeah, that's never going to see the light of day. But the first book I actually got published was Drake, which I finished in 2012, I think, probably. And, that sold a trilogy to Angry Robot, and then I started the Priest books. But, I mean, I've been writing bits of this and bits of that since I was in school, as I say. I think the first thing I remember writing was a very thinly disguised Han Solo fan fiction when I was about 13, with, you know, the serial numbers filed off and his name changed. probably made about 10 pages of it, I think. But
he's the character that speaks to me in that movie as well. You know, everybody's like, oh, I want to be, I'm either the Empire or I'm Luke. No, I Han Solo always seemed to be the character that drew me close, that seemed to match up with my character most of all.
Yeah, oh, you and me both, yeah. No, when we used to play Star Wars when I was a boy, you know, I was always Han Solo. He was the cool one, you know, he had the cool junk ship, and he was a bit of a bad boy. And it's that same sort of criminal theme, I think I must have known even then.
So tell us a little bit about Priest of Bones. I know you have another one coming out in July, Priest of Lies, but that first book, you said, you know, you wanted to write that kind of Godfather in olden days and different time period. But obviously you had to kind of move things around because you've got a different era altogether.
Oh, absolutely that. And A Priest of Lies is slightly different. It's a direct sequel to Priest of Bones, the same setting and characters. But I'm starting to bring in some of my other great literary passion, which is spy thrillers. So for those people who've read Priest of Bones, you'll know it's more than just a gangster story. There is spies and government intrigue and secret agents and everything like that in it. And in Priest of Lies, as Thomas progresses in his nefarious career, shall we say, without giving away too many spoilers, the spy side of it comes out a lot more alongside the gangster thing. And again, you were saying about the Neolithic Mastodon Tusk black market. I think there have probably been spies as long as there's been any form of organized government as well.
Oh, I agree. I mean, you had to know what the next village was up to, right?
Absolutely that, yeah. That's another thing I wanted to bring out. And that whole sort of Machiavellian behind the scenes of Renaissance politics, I absolutely love that kind of thing. But yeah, obviously, with it being a different time period, you've got to change things. But I'm a great fan of putting little nodding winks into stories. I mean, there's a scene in Priest of Bones where Thomas and the Pious Men are storming a casino he used to own, and one of his men smuggled in a crossbow inside a loot case. And I just thought, I could see Jimmy Cagney with a Tommy gun in a violin case.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love that kind of thing. It's probably not very period correct, but then it's not a historical drama. It's a fantasy book. You can have your fun with that kind of thing in fantasy. It's what I love about it.
Yeah, you can get the crossbow and the loot case together, and everybody goes, well, of course.
Of course, yes.
So where do you draw your characters? Some people I know like write characters as kind of matching people in their actual life, although they'd never admit it, but that they draw from pieces around them. And other people really like to write about, I say draw because I often picture my characters before I actually write them. But where do you find that the impetus for your character's drive comes from?
Oh, that's an interesting one. I mean, my characters tend to just appear in my head as fully formed people. It's the plots I find take the most work for me. I will have a person, and once I've got a character, then I tend to find the world around them evolves based on the kind of world that would have produced that character. But oh, where do they come from? It's difficult to say. I mean, Thomas Piety is not me, definitely. There's probably little bits of me in there, but he's part, I don't know, part Julius Caesar, part Al Capone. He's a very driven man. And I think I draw a lot from famous historical figures, but I'll take a little bit of this person and a little bit of that person rather than just cloning somebody out of history.
Well, that makes sense. And I think we all come about our writing in different ways. I don't know what your process is like. Some people like to do a lot of outlining, the plotters, and other people tend to let the story come to them. Which do you find? I consider it more of a spectrum. I don't think there's either an either or necessarily, but where do you find yourself along there?
I absolutely agree. I think I'm somewhere in between. I used to completely make up as I went along, which is why my first three books never got published or probably. I've become more of an outliner, but I don't storyboard every single scene and then sit and plod through it from start to finish. I always know how a book ends, often before I even know how it starts, and then I'll come up, got the start, the end, and the main beats in it, and then I'll usually flesh that out into chapters, maybe level, as an outline. But I still discover a lot in writing, and things change, and outlines flex as you go through the process, but I mean, Priest of Bones is 115,000 words, I think, something like that. And I wrote it off maybe a 15-page outline, I think. So it's probably more detailed than a lot of people do, but it's a long way away from a complete storyboard. And some of the later parts of that did change during the process as I was writing. A character became more important than I thought they were going to be, or changed their personality maybe. Just as I was writing, it seemed more how that person should be. So I find, I've got this other thing that once something's written, it's written. I very rarely change anything. So if a character does something unexpected and I like it, it's like, well, okay, he did that. Let's look at the implications on the rest of the forward outline of the plot rather than go back and change what happened before, if that makes sense.
It absolutely makes sense. And I think, I tend to have that same feeling, is that new direction came from somewhere. And so it probably has some importance, and I should follow up. Somebody likened it to, pulling at that loose thread a little bit to see where it goes.
Oh, definitely. Definitely that. I mean, when I was writing Priest of Bones, the character of Billy the Boy, who's the young and upcoming magician, wasn't actually originally planned to be the character that had the magic. That was going to be somebody completely different. But I don't know. It's almost like Billy piped up in my head and said, excuse me, I can do this. And A lot of things had to change because of that, but I'm glad I did it. I think it suits him.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, the ending comes to you first. I often find that that's true for me as well. And but I think that's important because the ending is that moment of the book, the big climax, right? And so if you know where that is, then you just have to get there. And I say just, but there's a lot that goes on in between that.
There is. You've got to know where you're going, I think, and then work out how you get there. And if you don't know how the book ends, I don't know how you know what you're trying to say. You know, the end of the book is kind of, to me, the point of what I was getting at, the point of what I was trying to say with the work. So I will usually write the last page, two pages maybe of a novel very early on in the process, often before I've got my opening line notion. And then I know where I'm going. That's my aiming point. And everything in the outline almost tracks back to how to get to that final scene. And I've never changed a final scene from conception. I've never had an editor ask me to either. It's everything in between can change, but that's always where it's going, and it always gets there.
So when you do get out and about and get a chance to kind of interact with people, do you ever look forward to meeting the readers at conventions, or do you prefer to kind of do that kind of thing online just because it's easier that way?
Oh, both. No, I really enjoy going to conventions. Oh, excuse me. We don't have a very big convention scene in the UK. It's nothing like you've got in the US. But I did London Comic Con last year and then late summer. It was fantastic. I really, really enjoyed that. And there's some more sort of purely publishing-focused conventions. Like we have a thing called Fantasy Con and Easter Con. And I really, really enjoy it. I don't think there's anything better than having a complete stranger look you in the eye and tell you they loved your book. It's a fantastic feeling. But I do quite a lot online as well. I'm very active on Twitter and in a lot of Facebook groups. Obviously, I'm in the Fantasy Focus Facebook group, amongst others. And I think that's great as well because you get to talk to people that you'd never, ever meet. You know, I've got friends I've met online and all across the States and Australia, New Zealand. And I think I may never meet these people, but it keeps that interaction going. So I'm a big fan of social media, but I also really enjoy doing conventions, definitely.
Yeah, and, you know, the Fantasy Focus Group is an interesting mix because it's got authors and readers on there. And it's really, you know, I like it because it's egalitarian. You know, everybody, I don't necessarily, somebody said to me in one of my earlier interviews on a previous podcast that they don't consider them fans. They're really readers, just like me. And I think that's so true. We all read and love fantasy, and we're here for the same reasons.
Absolutely. I mean, the same goes true for authors. I mean, you can't be a fantasy author if you're not a fantasy reader, or certainly not a successful one. I think loving the genre and engaging with it and reading widely across the spectrum of the genre and outside is a big part of writing, I think. But you say it's a mix of people, and I really enjoy that. I think if you're in an echo chamber of just authors, you've got that kind of preaching to the choir thing going on, which you want to engage with readers and hear feedback and recommendations, and somebody says, oh, I read this and it was really cool and it's something you've never heard of, and you might check it out and really enjoy it. And you can get a lot of that in both directions, I think, you know?
Definitely.
A lot to be had from that sort of thing.
And speaking of reading, you mentioned your mom read to you The Lord of the Rings when you were growing up. What other books kind of formed your fantasy background?
Oh, well, I started on Tolkien, as I say. I was really, really fortunate. I discovered Tanith Lee at a very early age. I've been a lifelong fan ever since. Her Flat Earth cycle is absolutely phenomenal. It's like mythology and poetry. It's wonderful stuff. And I think it's part of the reason I'm such a huge fan of Anna Smith Spark. She really reminds me of that lyrical quality that Tanith Lee had.
Yeah, her writing is just so different. I find it refreshing as well.
Yeah, I love her stuff. I enjoy a lot of the more mainstream fantasy, which is what I regard myself as being a fairly mainstream fantasy author. But you read something as standout, unique as Anna's stuff is incredible. You know? And there's some amazing stuff out there just now with the recent last couple of years of debuts. I think people talk about, you know, the golden age of science fiction was back in the 50s or whatever. I think the golden age of fantasy is now. There's some incredible stuff coming out over the last few years.
I think so too. And Anna was actually on the show recently, and she was just a ton of fun to interview and chat with, and just a fascinating background that she has.
She's a friend of mine. She's absolutely great.
Well, that's I envy you that then, because you know I just got to talk to her over Skype. But,
this is one of the good things about the UK scene, because it is quite small, we all tend to know each other. You know?
Yeah, I spoke to Robin Hobb on a recent episode, and of course we're on opposite sides of the country. I don't know if I'll ever run into her, just because you know unless we're at a con together, I don't think it'll happen, because we're 3,000 miles apart. So
yeah, I mean, you could do several lengths of the United Kingdoms without driving 3,000 miles. So we are a lot closer together than that.
So when you run into your readers, do you get a common question from them or something that pops up that you see kind of pops up in your feed frequently when people are interacting with you?
Not really a particularly common thing. I think all authors get asked the same questions a lot of times. You know, where do you get your ideas? How do you find the time? How do I get an agent? All this kind of thing. I think in relation to the work, not really. When I was writing the urban fantasy books, I got a bit of side eye from a lot of people about the magic, because the magic in my Burn Man series is based on historical documented black magic from the classical grimoires. And I think I got a lot of people thinking, dude, how do you know this stuff? Which was always quite amusing.
I'll bet.
I think that the main thing, the most recurrent thing I get around the Priest of Burns is it based on Peaky Blinders on the TV? I don't know. I think that you get that on Netflix in the US. And you know, the honest answer is, to an extent, yes. That's the same way that to an extent it's based on The Godfather. You know, I'm one of those guys that I'll wear my influences on my sleeve and not be ashamed of them. You know, it's like Jonathan French, who wrote The Grey Bastards, describes it himself as Sons of Anarchy with orcs. And it is absolutely that, and it's tremendous. If you really love something, like I was saying earlier, write to your passions, you know?
You know, it's interesting you mentioned, you know, people drawing, you know, comparisons between your work and other works out there. And I think that's just common because there's so many common things that stories share. And I know Robin Hobb talked about the fact that she didn't consider cliches to be a negative thing because they were just important parts of every story, that there's some things that are common to the human existence that we all share. And that's what helps people become enmeshed in the story, is the stuff that they understand.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with her on that. I mean, there are certain tropes of storytelling that you can't get away from. Some of them are more overdone than others. I think we've probably all possibly had enough of the farm boy chosen one that turns out to be a long lost king. But you've got, you know, your noble knights, your villainous advisors, all this kind of thing. I mean, they're as old as storytelling, and I don't think it's a bad thing. Now, you can certainly put different and modern twists on them, but no, it's nothing to be ashamed of, I don't think, at all.
So what do you have coming up? Is there a project you're working on after Priest of Lies comes out in July?
Well, after Priest of Lies, so the first two Priest books are a duology that stand alone. I am very much hoping to do more in that world, but watch this space for news on that. Other than that, I am doing a lot of stuff for Warhammer 40,000 at the moment, most of which I can't talk about at the moment because it's all under NDA, but there's some exciting stuff coming out in that space over the next year. One thing I can say, they've recently announced they're launching a Warhammer Horror line, and I've got a story in the Maledictions Short Stories Anthology, which is the launch title for Warhammer Horror, which is out in April. Other than that, I've always got stuff going on. I mean, I've got another fantasy trilogy outlined and not written and ready to pitch to my agent yet, but it's going on in the back of my head alongside the, you know, hopefully more of the Priest books. So we shall see where that goes, but I'm never short of things to write, trust me.
Oh, that's great. And just real quick, you mentioned an anthology. Do you find that, like, short stories are kind of a vacation for you from writing something longer?
I, I do. I only do short stories in IP tie-in. It's not something I do as original fiction. But I find it tremendous fun. I love doing IP writing, especially with Warhammer, because it's such fun. And you've got the setting and the all the factions outlined, all the technology outlined. You can just jump in the sandpit and play and tell a story, and it's tremendous. I really, really enjoy doing that.
Fantastic. Well, Peter, I just want to thank you for coming on the show. Why don't you share with folks where they can find out more about you? I know you said you're online on Twitter or wherever, and your website. So please let us know.
Yeah, sure. So the best place to get me is on Twitter. I'm at PeteMC666. And I have a website at talonroth.com, which is a static site. I don't do blogging, but it's got links to all my books and bio and all that kind of stuff on it. But please do come and find me on Twitter and we'll have a chat.
Excellent. And I'll have links to all that in the show notes so that people can just click right through and follow you right from there. And I'm looking forward to letting folks listen to this, because this has been a great time. And Peter, when you have something else come out, maybe after Priest of Lies comes out, maybe in the fall or late summer, we can have you back on again to talk a little bit more about that.
That would be great. I'd really enjoy it, Jeremy.
And that's going to wrap up this episode of the Fantasy Focus Books and Authors podcast. Make sure you catch up with us online for a whole lot more from the Fantasy Focus community, both over on our Facebook group as well as over at fantasy-focus.com. Leave a comment on this episode and let me know what's on your mind. I'd love to hear from you. Also, over on the website, on each podcast post, you'll find links on how you can subscribe to the show in your favorite mobile app for iOS, Android, or on apps like Stitcher or TuneIn. You can even subscribe and get an email notification when a new episode comes out. But make sure you do head over there and subscribe in some way so you don't miss any of the episodes. We've got a lot of great authors coming up, including James Jenkins is coming up in the very next episode. So you want to check that out. That's it for this episode of the Fantasy Focus podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook at Jamie Davis Books or at my website, jamiedavisbooks.com, where you can get a free book if you sign up for my newsletter over there, and I hope you'll enjoy that. Whatever you do, though, subscribe and come back here for the next podcast. In the meantime, I always will remind you to keep your eyes open, folks, because there's magic all around you. We'll be right back.